Hey, everybody, welcome. The Sight and Sound Podcast is back, presented by Hard God Media. Here we are. Eric and I are here. Hey, it's fucking September. It's back to fucking school season. You know what that means? It's back to school motherfucking week, month, whatever the fuck. And what better movie to cover, Eric, than fucking the 1986 Rodney Dangerfield fucking classic, Back to Motherfucking School for Back to School fucking
time. The legit namesake of Back to School, the film Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield. Comedic masterpiece.
Right off the bat, you know what's funny is, I guess I never really thought about it before, but 100%. Tell me that Billy Madison wasn't ripped from this direct idea.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think Sandler being such a big fan of comedy and comedians, I'm sure he was a Dangerfield fan, and I'm sure he got some of the inspiration from Billy Madison off of Back to School. Obviously, very similar storylines. So,
yeah, I mean,
100%.
But it's some would say it's a tale as old as time. A rich man returns back to school. But no, the concept is great. Obviously, it's been redone via Billy Madison. But there is there's something, obviously, we've talked about it so many times about how special the 80s really was. And there's just movies that you're not going to get anymore. And I don't think we've gotten similar movies, but we haven't gotten the back to school type movie, because as fun as, like, say, like a Billy Madison, where it's kind of the same concept relatively, it's a fun movie, but it doesn't have the kind of charm that Back to School has, in my opinion.
No, I mean, I love Billy Madison, of course, but yeah, I mean, I think for me, yeah, it just doesn't, it's not the same. I think there's a nostalgia, and we'll get into it, but there's a nostalgia factor for the film Back to School.
For sure.
For me, because it's just like, and again, we'll talk about it. But yeah, I mean, both great movies, but, you know, I just felt like I saw Back to School first, and it was kind of a, you fell in love with it first, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, you got Dangerfield had a specific type of comedy too. And that was what was kind of interesting, and I guess to a certain degree admirable, about Rodney Dangerfield. Rodney Dangerfield, the comedian, was just Rodney Dangerfield in his movies. He was never playing, like, and I guess I never really thought about it, but Dangerfield played his dad in Little Nicky, or his grandfather, rather.
He did, yes. Yeah.
But Rodney Dangerfield, obviously, I guess, had like a shtick as a comedian. He didn't get any respect, was his tagline. He had a lot of like, he had a lot of jokes that probably wouldn't, you know, go over that well with the crowds of 2023. It just, like, hilarious. I guess it was more that hilariously innocent, like, goofy. I mean, some might even call it like old man comedy, but like, hey, when she walks in the room, mice jump on chairs.
He definitely, again, and I'm not like too super deep into the stand-up comedy nowadays. Like, I know there is a lot of funny comedians these days, but yeah, I think there is something about those older comedians like Dangerfield who kind of just had like this shtick, and that's what they did, you know, like
Kennison,
you love
Kennison,
them or you hate them.
Kennison, yeah, was in, like, the movie, had innocent. His shtick.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Kennison's was a little darker, and he hated women way more, but
yeah, Kennison might.
Is she right?
I mean, set the backdrop of the film. Like, what's Dangerfield? Like, what's he doing? Like, what's the film about, basically?
Yeah, the film, Thornton Mellon, played by Rodney Dangerfield, pretty much, he plays, his father's like a wardrobe maker, right?
Yeah, I think it's like he owns like a big and tall store.
A big and
that
tall
I think
store.
His father, like, kind of created. From what I, so he's like a rich man.
And so you see a young Rodney Dangerfield's character of Thornton Mellon, Maloney, portrayed by the one and only Jason Hervey of Wonder Years and Monster Squad fame.
Yeah, recently met Jason Hervey, actually.
Oh yeah, I forget you met him at Chiller.
Yeah, at Chiller Theater. Yeah, it was a great interaction.
What did he sign your
I had
Monster
him
Squad
sign it,
poster?
"Hey Fat Kid," because that's pretty much, obviously he says that in the film, The Monster Squad. So I thought it'd be funny. So he signed it, "Eric, Hey Fat Kid, Jason Hervey," which is amazing. Yes.
Oh, that's great. But yes, young Jason Hervey plays young Thornton Mellon, pretty much getting advice and some wisdom from his father. And, the movie opens up pretty much, showing Thornton's rise to creating a chain of big and tall stores and just being super rich and successful. Very reminiscent of for some reason, I just love that Dangerfield was just in movies where he was either wealthy or going to get wealthy. Like Caddyshack, he's super rich. Easy Money, he needs to be straight in order to get the money to be super rich.
Oh yeah, someone was like, they followed the formula for his that what would make his character. He seems better as a rich guy or a guy who's about to be rich.
100%. So Alan Metter directed this, passed away unfortunately in 2020, at the age of 77. But that dude did, I can't remember what he did. Hold on. I'm looking it up. I didn't take any notes for this.
I've seen that. We've seen this movie. I actually did look up the director because, I was when I found out we were going to do this, I was like, I didn't even know who directed it, but it doesn't look like he did much. It looked like he worked on some Olivia Newton-John, maybe music videos or something. And
let's see, Moving with Richard Pryor, which is fucking amazing.
There you go.
If you don't know Moving, Arlo Pear, come on now. Let's see. He did the Rodney Dangerfield Rapping Rodney music video. So he must have been – he was boys with Rodney. Him and Rodney would dab each other up, I guess.
Rodney. Yeah, Olivia Newton-John. They're all great.
He also did fucking the Police Academy Mission to Moscow film from 94. What a career.
Yeah, what a good – I mean, had a good run, for sure.
He did a working trash TV movie with Carlin and Ben Stiller, too.
Wow. I mean, Jesus, that's great.
Legend. Alan Metter, RIP. But anyway. Yeah, so we get the almost Biff Tannen type montage to open up for the opening credits where you see Thornton's rise to fame and getting all this money. And his son, who's played by Keith Gordon, just when you have directed episodes of Dexter, you were Arnie in fucking Christine and you were in Back to School, you're certified legend.
I mean, he is the man. He's in Jaw, the second Jaws. He's in The Legend of Billy Jean. The dude's the man.
He's someone that doesn't do con. I haven't seen it at a con, and I'm telling you right now, I think the fandom for Christine grows every year. I think he would fucking clean up.
He would. Yeah, I think he would. Yeah, I agree. I think he would. Christine is kind of a, one of those Carpenter classics that's not pumped down your throat some of his other ones. Not saying that in a bad way, but I think, I don't think he does a lot of cons. He would be cool to meet. That would be actually really awesome.
Yeah, he's great in this too. The cast in this is fucking awesome. You got Keith Gordon playing Thornton's son. It's just, there's something about the actors in the 80s too. I don't know what it was. And I know with this movie, this was a rather successful movie, I think. I mean, it opens June 13th, 86. Let's see, budget around 11 mil. Opening weekend, it does 8.8. Gross, 91 million worldwide. So that's pretty fucking good. Made 10 times its money.
Yeah, I would say that's a big one.
So or 9 times its money, whatever it is. So it did fucking great. Blockbuster hit, almost $100 million. That's nothing to wag your nose at, especially in 86. But anyway, Keith Gordon playing Jason Mellon, his son, he's he plays the son, and you know, Rodney Dangerfield ends up going back to college to try to, what was his motivation again? I haven't watched it in a bit, but what was the motivation? I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, he originally, like, towards the beginning of the movie, you see him arguing with his wife, who famously is Adrienne Barbeau. Yes, Adrienne Barbeau.
All-star cast.
So they're in some sort of fight, and he catches her cheating, so he wants to get out of town, so he goes and visits his son at college. And while he's there, I guess he decides that he wants to go there. You know what? I can't remember the motivation of doing it as well. I just remember that's why he went there. He starts making all these changes, and he's going to be a student.
What do you do when you have a millionaire father, but knocked down? Well, Robert Downey Jr. plays, I guess, like a new wave punk type friend to Jason.
Yeah, like kind of like the rebel friend, like kind of the contrasting.
Got a little Kool-Aid in his hair.
The contrasting personalities, but good friends. Yeah, Robert Downey. Yeah, I mean, like, it's like you already said, but it's the cast. We're going to keep going, but the cast is amazing.
Yeah, cast is stellar. We got Sally Kellerman playing Diane, who was his, what was she, like an English major, right? Or literature major. Literature like teacher, professor.
Yeah, like an English professor who plays like the heartthrob for.
Well, if you're a millionaire and you're going to college with your son, you got to have a sidekick. And what better sidekick than Burt motherfucking Young playing Lou?
Yeah, but his handler, his strongman, his driver, Burt Young just playing basically, you know, Burt, like, I don't know, like he's just Paulie from, he's a quiet Paulie 100%, from Rocky, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, there's just, but anyway, you know, it's funny. He, you know, so obviously Thornton starts to go to college with his son. They, you know, his dorm room's right next to his son's. They knock down all three walls and make a huge, like, bachelor loft college pad.
For sure. Kind of the dream, I would say.
I've never, and I'm being serious about this, I never had any desire being younger to go to college. School sucked. I did not want to fucking go to more school. That sounded fucking literally like, if someone kicked you in the fucking nuts with golf cleats and was just like, do you want me to do that again? No, I don't want to fucking go to more school. I'm also dumb as fuck, but that's fine, because no college would have ever been this fucking, no college experience would ever be this fucking cool, where your millionaire dad knocks your walls down and you have a fucking Halloween party where Oingo motherfucking Boingo plays.
I mean, maybe one of the greatest musical cameos in a movie.
Elfman did the music score for this as well.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously a scene where Thornton's at a bar and there's a bunch of fucking people that are just hanging out and fucking randomly one of Boingo was just playing at this like college bar, just ripping it.
Fucking,
they showcase, yeah, obviously there's some sort of deal. They showcase Elfman, and you know what I mean? Like, it's,
oh, was it at a bar? For some reason, I thought it was in the fucking big expanded dorm room.
No, I'm pretty sure it's while they're at the bar. It might be It might be at the dorm room. You might be right about that. Now that I think about that.
But regardless, like, Danny Elfman, we got fucking Johnny Vatos Hernandez on drums. I fucking love Oingo Boingo. How is Oingo Boingo? Did this? Now, this introduced me to Oingo Boingo, if I remember correctly. And
100% did, just knowing the age I saw this, like, Oingo Boingo was not on my radar at all at that point. So,
and what better song to get introduced to than fucking Dead Man's Party? This is an all-time fucking music number, not just in a legendary fucking 80s film, but an all-time music number in any film. Like, when someone says, what's the best band that's appeared in a film? This is top three, is it not?
It's got to be. I mean, it's up there. I would have to really think about musical cameos in movies, but this is definitely personally, definitely one of the tops.
You got to go Alice Cooper in Wayne's World, Aerosmith in Wayne's World 2, and Oingo Boingo in Back to School, right?
Oingo Boingo Back to School. Cannibal Corpse in Ace
Cannibal
Ventura
Corpse
is a
in
pretty
Ace
funny
Ventura is top three, actually. I'll
That's a
bump
pretty good
Aerosmith from Wayne's World 2 to fucking slot in Cannibal Corpse and Ace Ventura. But yeah, just like shit like that. Like Thornton's obviously just like he's either like wooing the one teacher who is kind of dating the is he like an econ professor? The
yeah,
British
like an
guy.
economics professor, yep.
Yeah. And pretty much Thornton's a millionaire businessman. So what the fuck is like, you know, he has a contentious relationship with the economy, like professor, the econ professor or whatever. So like Thornton doesn't need to know what the motherfucker Widget is, which is like a great, I love the great banter in that scene where he's in like the form room type, class. And, he's arguing back and forth with the professor, and obviously the professor's like a little emasculated because there's this guy that's going to college and he's teaching him, and you're like supposed to be a well-respected guy trying to explain to these kids economics, and you have a millionaire there saying like you don't need to know any of this fucking shit.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is true. I went on a whole thing about that recently. We're taught the wrong things, especially in high school. I can't really speak on college like that, but we're
oh,
all
for
taught
sure.
We're all taught the wrong shit, most of us. So,
that professor, who is also, I think he's the butler in Richie Rich. Paxton Whitehead, playing Philip, Barbe. He's, you know, he's got a kind of relationship with Diane, but Thornton's obviously wooed Diane so much. We got. Billy Zabka plays the fucking bully. Who better to play your adversary in the '80s than William Zabka, aka Billy Zabka, aka Billy Zabs, aka Zabski?
The ultimate heel, I always say it. '80s, the ultimate '80s heel. I mean, he's
fucking legend.
Countless villain, and how many high school, college movies? The guy is a legend. If anybody's a Karate Kid fan, obviously watch Cobra Kai on Netflix because he's in it and he's fucking by far the best character.
Oh, but like smokes. That's what I think's so fun about like Cobra Kai too, is that like William Zabka is like so like, I love that he's the main, they did it so smart making him the main star and not doing like having Machio be the main star.
Yeah, I mean, they're both kind of dual, and the way they started the show, yeah, it's like they started it with Zabka, and they kind of worked into showing Machio more, and I agree with you. I think it helped with the perspective of the show and kind of, I think, building the story and the popularity of it.
Doesn't that make
but
you
yeah.
happy, though, that Zabka just, like, saw a little resurgence and has seen some fucking coin from doing the Cobra Kai show? That makes me so fucking stoked for him.
Because he was literally, like, the most typecast dude, like,
right.
He was just a villain in the high school, like comedy, like drama, like yeah, so many. Or he's the silent boyfriend pretty much in European Vacation.
Yeah. I'm just like
silent.
Karate Kid, just one of the guys. Obviously, Back to School, European Vacation. Like, those are like four juggernauts of the 80s for me, especially like when we covered Just One of the Guys, you know. Like where I rank, like I put Just One of the Guys right behind, as far as like 80s like sex comedies, I'm going Fast Times, Porky's, Just One of the Guys, Private School. It's my Mount Rushmore.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, so Zabka in it, obviously feathered blonde hair, fucking looking dapper as fuck for 86. 86, great year. 2 years before my birth, a year after your birth. So it's a banging year.
100%.
So like full blown 80s style, like is in effect. They're all on the swim team together. Like Jason is a diver on the swim team. Thornton is apparently a fucking renowned, he's a Renaissance man. Cause not only is he a proprietor of fucking the most like wealthy fucking like big and tall chain store for men, but also happens to have had a legacy as a diver doing the legendary triple lending, who has smitten the coach. Also, we need to shout out the fucking, can we shout out the motherfucker still alive, dude, is fucking Emmett Walsh. But,
yeah, alive. Walsh, he is in so, like, dude, if anyone looks him up, he has been in so much stuff. Yeah, the dude's still kicking. He's been in so much. And then Ned Beatty is in this, too. He's
fucking Ned Beatty plays the Dean Martin.
Yeah, like, he's another one who's, like, you know, like a legend. Like, he passed away, unfortunately. But, yeah, I mean, he was fucking in so much stuff. We got, just like we said, all-star cast. But, yeah, yes. Well,
let's bop out the cast a little bit. We already mentioned Jason Hervey and shit. Yo, we got fucking our girl, Edie McClurg, playing Thornton's assistant that he sends to the fucking, to his class to take all the notes for him. Edie McClurg, legend.
They got
Kurt Vonnegut to come in and actually play himself. The writer.
Yeah, Kurt Vonnegut playing himself.
We got OG Robert Picard, Picardo, Joe Dante, regular dude's been in fucking everything under this fucking sun. Dude, let's talk about it right now. So yeah. Thornton has a class with Professor Turgeson. Or Turgeson. Yeah, okay, yeah. Professor Turgeson, played by the one and only legendary Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison.
This, for me, is the scene of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's not familiar with Sam Kinison, you look him up, but he was, an 80s comedian, or style of comedian, who would scream, like, outrageously scream, and he would be real quiet, and then he would just fucking flip out. and that's kind of what he does in these scenes that are, they're discussing what, like the
Vietnam War, right?
The Vietnam War, and I can't even watch these scenes now without just dying. Mostly because we quote it all the time. But yes, this is like peak comedy in the film.
Well, you and I had obviously seen the movie a million times, but I can't remember when it was. It had to have been 12, 13, 14 years ago or whenever it was. When we fucking were watching it, and for some reason, this scene like hit, and we like from that point on, we were quoting it. We had already seen the movie before a million times growing up on Comedy Central or wherever. Comedy Central loved playing this at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
This was, I always say, like, we talk about movies all the time, and I always say, like, this was like a mainstay. Like, these movies were, you know, like this and like The Great Outdoors and like most of the National Lampoons, but you know what I mean? Like, these are movies that like were constantly on in your household. You know what I mean? It's and Back to School is one of them. Like, I just, you would just always be on.
But Kinison goes on a little rant, and it's just fucking amazing. Like, it just like his inflections too. It's just like so, like when he does the little laugh. Oh, I didn't know you wanted to get involved in the discussion, Mr. Halper. Just like a wild man. And I love that they do that too, because if Sam Kinison came in there and like played like a very reserved thing, it'd be funny because Sam Kinison wasn't that way. But I like that they're like, we got to have Sam Kinison play be Sam Kinison when he's playing this role.
Yeah, it's almost like we're talking about with Dangerfield. Like, Sam Kinison had his shtick, and he just, you know, he did his thing, and they had him be himself, just like Dangerfield throughout every one of his movies. He was just Rodney Dangerfield. So, yes, they let Kinison do the same thing, and it was a cool cameo.
Yeah, it's just, and he's just screaming at the girl. Fuck, say pussies like you. Just he's obviously he was in Nam up to his knees. It's just so fucking good. It's such a wild scene. It's so funny, him just like freaking out. Listen to the goddamn people albums, like that fucking, like, actually I might have to fucking play that when we return to the Lost Horizon stage. That might have to be the intro
to game. Oh my god, that would be amazing. The good thing about the film is it has everything that you would want in this like genre and like in the era, right? Like
for sure.
It's got the and it's kind of like Thornton as the father and his son, which is Jason. Like they're kind of going through the same shit, but different parts of their life. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, there's the love interest, there's the
school,
the school, and like kind of the some sort of they're having the issue. Like if later on in the movie, Thornton's got to make sure like he's not cheating, and he like has to do all these. They do the montage of him training to test. And you know Jason's just trying to stay in school and find his rhythm on this dive team, which it has the sports element to it, which it kills me that it's diving. Like, you know what I mean? It always killed me that they always pick diving for this. Like,
I know it's
it's an interesting part of the storyline. Like, it could have been like a tennis player or something. Like, no, it's diving, and you get the greatest scenes. With the double, they're obviously, it's almost like they did it on purpose when they're trying to show Rodney Dangerfield's character is doing these elaborate dives.
The
and
triple
you can
ending.
Blatantly tell it's not him. I always thought that was like they knew that and it was kind of like a little wink wink to the audience. But
yeah. But before we get to that, because that's kind of like the near climax of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
But before that, you know, him and Keith, like at first, Keith Gordon's character, Jason, he's like loving that his dad's like kind of there and wild and like it's kind of fun, but then it kind of wears its welcome out. And, you know, Jason's having like, you know, his growing pains that you have in college and shit like that. And his dad's kind of like outshining him. And they go through like a rough patch and shit. And Jason kind of enters Arnie mode. He's drinking a little beer. He's wearing glasses. He's being antisocial. And his friend, obviously Derek, played by Robert Downey Jr., just like loving, like, you know, that Thornton's there and is throwing around money. And it's just like a dream scenario for going to college, you know. But he ends up, you know, him and his son obviously go through a rough patch in the film and they reconnect. But yeah, Billy Zabka on the diving team as well. And just like, you know, pretty much fakes an injury because he didn't want to be embarrassed or was too nervous to dive. And then, you know, Thornton goes up there and saves the day, as does Jason. But yeah, it's a really interesting film because it has a funny plot and it never takes itself too serious. And I think that's where comedies these days, I think, like, there's the serious moments, like, where Thornton needs to grow up and he needs to actually, and then he starts to, you know, actually,
yeah, like,
he goes through he passes all of his tests, and then, you know, the econ professor is like, no, we're going to do a fucking oral exam with all your fucking teachers, so now you got to pass that. And he obviously passes that, so that's, like, a hurdle for him. But, like, it's Thornton realizing he doesn't have to be the way he is all the time. He can act like a father and be mature sometimes, but I feel like with comedies now, they want a really, really crazy, deep, in-depth fucking like dramatic, traumatic fucking thing to happen, like to bring into it. Like, and I feel like they go way too far one way and they lose sight of the comedy. I feel like that's happened on a lot of comedy films that they've tried to do over the last 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, the film has heart for sure. Like, Back to School has heart and it's goofy, but yeah, there's like, you know, there's some dramatic, you know, there's, yeah, they reconnect. It has heart to it. So I know what you mean. Like it kind of is what it is and it knows what it is. You know what I mean? It's not trying it's not trying to do too much. And that's what, and you are right. There are, you know, films nowadays where that's kind of the goal is to do too much. Right. So
yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it works sometimes and it doesn't a lot of the time. So I'm right there with you. There's a simplicity to some of these movies from, you know, even the 90s or even the early 2000s, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, some of the comedies from our youth, which were probably the raunchiest comedies that will ever be made. you know, from our youth of like the early 2000s, late 90s, like you're never going to see that stuff again. And it's the same with this 80s stuff. There was,
without a doubt.
I mean, but yeah, like, and that's kind of what, it's a combination of nostalgia and storytelling and yeah, I mean, that's what makes these so good. That's why people watch these comedies, you know, all the time, like year after year, whether it be just like Christmas Vacation or something like that. Like, you're probably not doing that to a movie that was released 5 years ago.
No, 100%. And that's, I don't know. It's just it, the comedy, like, I would, revisiting these, like, I wouldn't want comedies to come out and try to be like they were in the 80s, I guess. But at the same time, it's just so, dude, it's so disheartening when I watch movies like this, Fast Times, and even like, you know, things like, even like, you know, Caddyshack or the original Vacation movie or Uncle Buck, or even stuff that's a little more teen dramatic. You know, we're going to cover Breakfast Club next. And that'll be the first ever episode that Bridget's going to appear on, finally.
Can't wait for that. It's going to be awesome.
But I feel like, I don't know, they don't make those kind of movies anymore that are like, I don't know, the rewatchability isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I just think I think it kind of has to do with every, there's a lot of factors for that. You know what I mean? I just think,
right,
obviously nostalgia plays in for us. Somebody who's 15 years old right now probably would watch Back to School and not think it's, you know what I mean? Like, right, it's just right, different perspective. But yeah, you know, when we get to the Breakfast Club, yeah, I mean, that movie's fucking iconic and it's celebrated. You know, maybe Back to School is not celebrated as much, of course. In our world, it's celebrated, but you know what I mean? So, yes.
It's just, yeah, but it's, that's the thing. I just, it's, I mean, we talk about the 80s so much, and like with horror too, like horror is so revered for the 80s. You know, for all the 80s shit that came out. But comedies, yeah, too, man. Like, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of good horror movies in the 90s and the 2000s. And currently, right, there's some good ones for sure. But comedy, I feel like, dude, like 10 years ago, it took a nose. It took 10, 15 years ago, it took a nosedive. And we have not seen rewatchable great comedy, yeah, movies.
I'm with you. I was actually just about to say, like, I feel like when it comes to horror, there are still horror movies that come out to, right, you know, they come out tomorrow that, right, I really like and I will watch again. But when it comes to comedy, yeah, I don't. I mean, there's some stuff that's come out recently that I guess I've watched and I liked, but I think it's more like television, like, you know, or streaming. Like, the funniest shit I see now is like, you know, the Gemstones or shit like that. Like, I don't. When it comes to movies, I can't even tell you like what, you know, what comedy movies that I've watched, like multiple comedy movies I've watched in the past 5 years. It's tough, you know. I don't even know.
And you know what's funny is I know it sounds stupid, but like, I get worried that some of these films are going to get lost in time if you don't own them. I feel like they might get lost because for instance, you know, and we're wrapping this up, but you know, a movie like Bachelor right, Party, if you watch it with 2023 goggles, you're gonna find a lot of issues, like that are themes or like character flaws and things like that. If you wear 2023 goggles watching that, you're gonna have. I'm saying like maybe someone even our age or younger. That is, I guess, I understand watching something be like, oh, that's really fucked up now, as far as like what something a character would do. But I feel like people, it's getting harder and harder for people, especially people younger than us that aren't in their mid to late 30s, that can't separate time periods. It's like, it's very similar to like, if you hated people that rode horses, but you're watching a movie, you're watching, you know, Last of the Mohegans, and you're like, right, well, what the fuck would they ride horses? This is fucking ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. You need to, right, remember it was way different. Things, people didn't take things as serious, and then things that maybe you should have taken more serious back in the day are taken a little bit more serious now, so you can't joke about it. But I feel like in the pantheon of film, I feel like some of these movies might get lost because so many younger people aren't discovered. I think about, like, you know, this or Bachelor Party or Porky's. Like, Porky's, when I saw it, was probably, I think I saw Porky, I saw almost all of the films I saw pretty young, but I saw Porky's before I saw American Pie. American Pie came out in 99, and I saw American Pie probably like a year later, summer 2000, when it came to the video stores. Mm-hmm. But I saw Porky's before that. Obviously, way too young for someone to probably watch Porky's. Then again, what's too young? Like, probably for that, probably a 9, 10-year-old or 11-year-old probably shouldn't have been watching Porky's. But I think back to that and me finding a film that was almost 20 years old at the time, I think back to, like, you know, okay, what's something that's 20 years old now? It's something from 2000, like... That's the thing, too, is, like, if people are watching Superbad with 2023 goggles, are they having the same conversations? Because Superbad's pretty raunchy, and there's some character flaw-type shit in there the same way it is in Bachelor Party. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Superbad, shortly after that is when if it died, right? Like, he, you know
what
I mean?
Not long after.
Yeah, I mean, really... I'm sure there's good stuff that came out after it, of course, but even like the Hangover movies probably at this point, like, would they get made? You know what I mean?
Right, right. I'm telling you, the last comedy that came out that I can think of off the top of my head, the last comedy that came out that I've rewatched several times, I can't think of any other comedy that's came out since that I've rewatched several times, movies, full-length movies. I'm going to say I got two of them that I'm thinking of. One, okay. I Love You, Man. I've rewatched that several times because it's very funny.
You're good with that, but what year did that come out? Because I'm that's still quite a while ago at this point.
March,
right? 2009. Yeah, so, okay, I mean, yes.
And then another movie that came out in, I think, 2010, 11-ish, I think 11, I think early 11, maybe, 30 Seconds or Less.
30 Minutes or Less, that one, right?
30 Minutes or Less.
Yeah, yeah. I like that one, too. Yeah, I mean, those are both great. I think I Love You, Man is hilarious. Like, it is a great comedy. But even still, like, think about that. That's, like, 10 years ago. More than 10 years ago, you know?
Yep. It's...
But you're right. Like, I mean, I recently watched, I think you watched it, too, that, like, Adam Devine movie, The Outlaws, on Netflix. That was a comedy. I thought it was funny. Like,
You know what? I take it back. I did really like that one, actually. I did like that one.
But that's what I mean. And that was good because those guys, like... You know, and I call them the workaholics guys. Those, like, Adam Devine, and, like, he's in some cheesy stuff, of course, but they're like pretty much the same age as us. Maybe a little, he's like maybe a little bit younger. So the comedy that they draw from is the comedy that kind of we grew up with. So, and I think that film kind of tried to have some of that kind of, like, not even, I don't want to say raunchy, but just like the rated R, you know, right. Like maybe the verbiage or whatever they're using. That one was good. But again, like that. It's just like the state, like that's on Netflix. It's just going to get, you saw it, and then will you ever see it again? You know what I mean? Like, so.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, comedy's like back to school. And you're right, though. Like, you know, you always think that every generation's going to find these. Well, you know, there's obviously people who probably are our age who love movies from the 50s or, you know, the 60s and stuff like that. So you hope that people are going to keep rediscovering these films. But you are right. We're at a point in society where, you know, some of this stuff is frowned upon, like some of the jokes and the content of the jokes that, yeah, will it just get, well, this is canceled. You know, we shouldn't appraise something like this.
Right.
And will it get lost? I'm not saying so much Back to School, of course, because there's not too much in that. That's...
Back to School is very innocent. If someone's got a real problem with this, I mean, there's nothing.
Bachelor Party, again, is Bachelor Party, and it's they're it's a bad, you know, they're having a Bachelor Party. There's some stuff that happens that people might not.
But you want to know something? Guess what?
But it's Tom Hanks. People adore Tom Hanks. So
you want to know something, though? Guess what happens at real Bachelor Parties? Shit like that. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing, and probably a lot less of stuff like that happens now, but I mean, seriously, not condoning any of it, but I'm just saying. But regardless, yeah, what's, you know, final thoughts, I guess, here on back to school, you know, what more could we say, I guess, than, you know, it's just a movie we grew up with. It was on television so much growing up. And like, I just have like crazy good memories of like coming home from school and like, I don't know, like coming lounging for a little bit. And then you're like, you're flipping through and you're like, oh, fucking back to school's out. Fuck yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, personally for me, yeah, like I said, the nostalgia factor, the movie was always on. Dangerfield is, like, a celebrated comedian, of course. Like, if you're a fan of comedy and you're maybe a historian, like, some of the people you watch now, maybe not so much the young people, but, like, there was people like him and Pryor and all these guys that influenced, it's all, like, kind of, you know, influenced to influence this person, and then this person influences someone else. Dangerfield obviously was highly influential. He was a movie star, obviously in movies. And I just think, like, if you've never seen it, you got to kind of go back and watch it for the nostalgia factor,
for sure.
For the, you know, for just the treasure that is Rodney Dangerfield. You know what I mean? Like, he was a national treasure. People loved him. So
yeah, rightfully so. Just a great film, so much fun, so many memories, and yeah, it's a great one. Go check it out if you haven't. I'm not sure where it's streaming. I think it might be streaming on Prime or something, but do yourself a favor, go get the Blu-ray. It's a couple bucks on Amazon, because one day will come, possibly, where you're going to wish you own this and other films on a physical format, so now's your chance. But back to school week is officially started. Or, you know, the first couple weeks of September, everyone's going back to school, be it elementary, middle school, junior high, high school, college. Everyone's going back to school around this time of the year. Leaves are going to be starting to fall here. They're already starting to trickle down a little bit. And there ain't nothing better than the fall time in our region of the world, the Northeast. But yeah, fucking back to school, man. This has been so much fun. I'm really pumped to do Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club, we got a lot to dive into.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's like a monumental film. So
monumental is the right word for sure. But all right, everyone, check us out. Instagram, Twitter, at Hardgun Media. You know where this shit's streaming. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever the fuck else podcasts are, we're streaming there. But hell yeah, viva la back to school, viva la Rodney Dangerfield, Keith Gordon, M. Emmett Walsh, fucking Burt Young's still kicking too. I love it. And Oingo Boingo not kicking,
not technically kicking,
but Elfman is, and the former members are. Check out Oingo Boingo former members on Instagram, everyone. But fuck yeah, back to school. Legendary film. Pleasure to cover it. Doing Breakfast Club in a few days. That one's going to be a blast. Thanks, everyone.